It's a new year. And as we begin a new year, many times people take time to reflect back on the last year, the good and the bad, and as they look forward, think about what sort of things do they want to do different in the coming year. We often see New Year's as a time to start again, start fresh, maybe try something new or make a resolution. Many people make New Year's resolutions. Only 8% of them actually keep the resolutions. But we do a great job at the beginning of the year starting to think new again. And even for those who don't make resolutions, there's something about a new year that gets us thinking about new beginnings. And so today, we here will begin something new as well. Today, we will begin to read the Gospel of Mark. From now until Easter, we will dive into this gospel. We will hear again, or maybe for the first time, the story of Jesus as told from Mark's perspective. Many times we know a lot of different stories and pieces of Jesus' life from the four different gospels, and they are all wonderful stories that help us to get a multifaceted picture of who this Jesus is. In my family, there are four kids in our family, and from the stories that we tell, you would never know that we have the exact same set of parents. All four of us have completely different perspectives on what our life was like growing up with our parents. And yet, you need all four of our stories to come together to truly understand who my parents are. This is true of Jesus as well and our gospel writers. We see Jesus from the perspective of four different gospel writers, and we need all of those perspectives to really understand who this Jesus is. But sometimes you want to really understand just one perspective. Sometimes as a kid, you want people to really understand how it was when you were growing up with your parents. The same is true of our gospel writers. They would like for each one of us to dive in and see their perspective, what they want to tell us about Jesus. And so, during the next few months, we will take time to truly explore what Mark wants to share with us about who this Jesus is. And so we'll see that we can see more about this in this three-month time, but maybe a good New Year's resolution to make would be for you to make a commitment right now to read through the whole Gospel of Mark. You can do it in one sitting if you'd like. It only takes about an hour to read straight through. Or you can take time over the next 3 months to really dive in reading this gospel and beginning to see Jesus from this perspective. And so, we begin. We begin with the Gospel of Mark. So, where should we begin? Well, as Maria from The Sound of Music says, let's start at the very beginning, a very good place to start. So Mark starts with one simple verse that is filled with meaning. Mark begins his gospel, the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And then moves on to tell the story of John the Baptist in the wilderness. Now, normally when you start at the beginning to tell the story of someone's life, you often start with their birth. Tell about maybe their parents, what it was like when they were growing up as a child. This is what the gospel writers Matthew and Luke do for us. Matthew not only starts with Jesus' parents, he goes back a few generations earlier, all the way back to Abraham and Sarah to start his story. And Luke has these wonderful stories about Jesus' birth, the ones that we heard on Christmas Eve. Stories of angels coming to Mary, the mother of Jesus, to announce Jesus' birth. Stories of stables and mangers and shepherds and heavenly hosts. An amazing birth. But Mark, Mark will have none of it. He gives no account of Jesus' birth, his ancestors, or anything prior to this moment. Instead, he begins with a simple sentence, the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And from that simple beginning, we learn a number of very important things about who this Jesus is and what this story is going to be about. We find out that this Jesus is also one called the Christ. The Christ who is the Messiah, the chosen one, the anointed one, the one people have been waiting and longing for. For hundreds of years, the Jewish people have longed for a Messiah to come and free them from their oppression and bondage. And in these first words, we hear that this promise has been fulfilled, that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah. And we learn even more than that. We learn that Jesus is not only the Messiah, Jesus is the Son of God. Well, it's kind of hard to understand exactly what it means when Jesus is the Son of God, or maybe even exactly what it means that Jesus is the Christ. These are loaded words with a lot of meaning behind them. We understand the simple words on the surface, but who is this Jesus really? It will take Mark the next 16 chapters of his gospel to unpack this one simple sentence, the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And so, we begin to see Mark unpack these as Mark starts not with the birth of Jesus or with who his ancestors are, but instead starts with the story of the adult Jesus going down to the Jordan River to be baptized by John. As Jesus emerges from the water, Jesus sees the heavens torn open, and the Spirit descends on him like a dove. God's Spirit coming down from heaven upon Jesus, and a voice from heaven cries out, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." And now, not only do we, the hearers of this story, know that Jesus is the Son of God, Jesus has heard these words as well. Jesus has this identity confirmed for him in his baptism as the voice of God speaks out from heaven, giving Jesus his true identity and a blessing. These are truly words of a beginning, the beginning of Jesus' ministry. Before Jesus begins, Jesus needs to know who he is and that he is loved and God is well pleased with him. This is what grounds Jesus before he ever goes out to begin his public ministry. Jesus has many trials ahead of him, and what he holds on to throughout it all is this identity and the blessing that comes with it. This is the gift given to Jesus at the beginning of his ministry. It's a gift given to Jesus, and it's a gift that's also given to each one of us in baptism as well. God loves all of us regardless of if we are baptized or not. But in baptism, we are given a promise, words from God, words of identity and promise that you are a beloved child of God with whom God is well pleased. And as we begin a new year, these are words for us to cling to and hold on to as well, to lead and guide us as we hold fast to our calling as children of God. Our true identity is confirmed in our baptism. We are children of God, and we are beloved. In Jesus' baptism, he hears these beautiful words from heaven for him as he begins his ministry. You are my Son, the Beloved. With you, I am well pleased. It'd be wonderful to stop our story right there, to know this is who Jesus is, the Son of God, and God is well pleased with him. But this is not the end of the story. This is just the beginning of the story. And so, from this point, Jesus' public ministry begins. Immediately after his baptism, he is sent into the wilderness and tempted there, tempted for 40 days. And what holds him fast in the midst of that temptation is his identity, that he is the Son of God, the Beloved, with whom God is well pleased. After Jesus' temptation, he begins his public ministry, and he begins to share this good news with the world. Jesus goes out to begin his ministry, and he has a one-sentence message. Wouldn't you like that if pastors just had one-sentence messages? Jesus' one-sentence message is, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." In Jesus' baptism, the heavens are torn open and the Spirit of God descends on him. And in Jesus, God now has come near and is on the loose. The kingdom of God has come near is the message. Come near in Jesus. And when the kingdom of God has come near, then things will never be the same. The kingdom of God has come near. The good news. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news. And when this good news comes near, this good news in Christ comes to us, things are never the same. Just look at what happens when Jesus starts talking to people, talking to the fishermen. He sees Simon and his brother Andrew casting their nets into the sea. Jesus says, "Come and follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And it says, immediately, they left their nets and followed. Again, a one-sentence proclamation with amazing results. A little further down the road, they see James and John, sons of Zebedee. Jesus calls to them, and immediately they leave their father Zebedee in the boat, along with the hired men, and come and follow Jesus. The kingdom of God has come near in Jesus, and people's lives are changed. Changed in amazing and dramatic ways. New beginnings. Who is this man Jesus that these fishermen would leave everything, leave their entire lives behind to come and follow him? It's Jesus, the Christ, the Son of God, the messenger, bringing the news that the kingdom of God has come near in him, that God has come down to earth. Jesus comes as the messenger bringing good news, and lives are changed. And this is just the beginning. And now we will watch as the story unfolds. Unfolds in the Gospel of Mark, but more importantly, unfolds in our lives as we encounter the Christ anew again. Because this is just the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Amen.